May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 308, the second part, and we'll sing the first seven verses and hope to sing the remaining verses for the second hymn. If this be, Lord, thy way, then who can hope to gain that prize such numbers never seek, such numbers seek in vain? Hymn 308, the second part, concluding at verse 7.
Thank you. We'll read from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, the chapters 1 and 2. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapters 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Dear Lord, once again we approach the mercy seat, and a secret, thou wouldst look down upon us and help us. Become as poor sinners, gracious God, to thy footstool of mercy, needing thee more and more daily, Lord, to feel thy need of him. Lord, we feel it, and thou knowest it, and we seek, gracious God, thy wisdom and thy grace and thy teaching and thy presence, that thou wouldst be with us. And we seek, gracious God, that blessed gift of faith. Oh, that we could trust thee more. Oh, that we could commit our way into thy dear hands. Leave all our cares in thy hands. Roll every burden upon thee. And fulfill the divine commandment, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. But Lord, we have an unbelieving heart, thou knowest, full of many fears and doubts, temptations, torments. And dear Lord, we need that grace to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there are hopes to stay. And thou seest, dear Lord, this congregation here this night. Thou whose eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, knowest the number of our hairs. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground without our Father seeth it. O gracious God, we pray that thou wouldst come to us and be to us each all that we stand in need of. That teacher, that redeemer, that saviour, that God of the whole earth. Oh, that we might know thee as our God, our redeemer, our saviour. And that thou wouldst come, dear Lord, and speak in the souls of thy dear people, those that have an hearing ear. Lord, we pray, those that have a desire, hunger, a thirst, dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldst draw near and grant that thy voice may be heard this night, that still small voice of God that thy dear servant Elijah knew in the cave. Enter, we pray thee this night, and lead us into the exercises, the needs, the desires, the concerns of those before us. The Lord thou seest them all together, and knowest the hearts of the young. Thou knowest, Lord, their thoughts, and thou knowest the needs, desires of the aged. Thy dear sister in her home along the street here, Lord, and remember her. We pray for her in her great old age. Lord, look down upon her and have mercy upon her never dying soul. And oh, gracious God, be with her. Grant she may know thy presence and thy teaching. Oh, Lord, we seek and pray for young and old. Carry immortal souls. We're dying men and women, however young we may be, Lord, we stand under the shadow of that solemn word, the wages of sin is death. But, Lord, coupled with it is that blessed word, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And, oh, we pray, look upon this congregation here this night, Lord, that thou wouldst work, and that there may be a possession of that gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to be found in him, to prove that, Lord, he is our shield and our exceeding great reward, to know that he has loved us with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness has drawn us. Oh, may there be those here this night under the sweetness of thy truth, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Lord, we pray for thy work, that hidden work, that work deep in the heart, that work of thy Spirit. Lord, we pray for it, that it may be manifested, and that thy great name might have all the honour and the glory, that there may be an opening of the lips of the dumb, and the voice that may be heard of God, thy dead men shall rise. Oh, we pray for that mighty resurrection power of the new birth, that sinners may be delivered out of nature's darkness into thy marvellous light, and brought to know thee, and to commune with thee at thy mercy seat. Brought, Lord, to know thee as their God, and to prove the blessedness of thy strength, to know the sweet comfort of thy presence, and to know the God of peace. Oh, may we know that peace in our hearts. Prove what it is, Lord, to find our rest in thee, that rest which remaineth to the people of God. Lord, we seek thy work in the churches. We live in solemn times. Lord, there has come a great falling away. We have witnessed it. And few come to thy solemn feasts. There's much carnality and worldliness, and we're all taken up with it, Lord, and thou seest us all together. But oh, we pray, as we come into thy house at this time, Lord, and would be conscious of the mercy of the Sabbath day, that, Lord, it may not be just to us an outward form, but we may know the rest of faith in thyself, that we may know the peace of God which passes all understanding. We may know those eternal and everlasting arms underneath us, that we may be strengthened with all might in the inner man, and that, Lord, we may go forth from thy house at peace with thee, and resting upon thy arm like the bride of Christ coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. Lord, we pray for one who hopes to travel on the coming day. Lord, we pray thy care over him and journeying mercies in his long journey. And may he know, dear Lord, thy presence in his journey, and thy presence with him, and thy divine care. Lord, it is a blessed mercy to have a God to go to, one to whom we can look at all times. It is a blessed mercy to be enabled to prove thee, that thou art that God of thy holy word, and hast faithfully promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lord, look upon those in affliction and sickness and under a dark cloud. Gracious God, we commend them into thy dear hand. Oh, how we live to prove that our times are in thy hand, that our days are in thy hand. Lord, that thou art he that changest not. Oh, we prove it again and again. And we pray that our dear friends may have in their hearts and souls the sanctifying work of thy Spirit. Lord, there are paths thou dost cause us and has caused us to walk in, which we have found to be profitable, but they have been paths of deep tribulation and sorrow and affliction. Yet when sanctified, Lord, we look back to them as little oases in the desert. We pray, Lord, for the young as they grow up here, and Lord, we seek that thou by thy rich mercy would keep them that they may be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Lord, look down upon the ministry of thy holy word this night in whatever land it may be. Truly we can come to thee and seek that thou wouldst bless all thy sent servants. Oh, bless the word of truth. Bless it in our own churches, and bless it in thy own work nationwide, for thou hast said that they will come from every nation, tribe, kindred and tongue. And Lord, thy dear people will be gathered in, and we seek that workmanship of thine. And Lord, there may be a gathering out and a gathering in. Once again, Lord, we pray for our nation, its vast darkness. Oh, how we live to see, Lord, the solemn nature of these latter days. We're well persuaded we live in the latter time. Many of the prophecies of thy holy word are solemnly fulfilled before our very eyes, and thou hast said, when ye see them such, then you'll know the last days are coming. Lord, we see that word that many shall go to and fro throughout the earth. Never has there been a time when there has been so much movement upon this earth. And we read in thy holy word that knowledge shall increase. Never has there been a generation when, Lord, there has been such vast increases of knowledge. And Lord, yet we read also of those solemn times when there will be a great falling away. We have lived to see it, the Lord, solemn falling away. Oh, come, we pray thee, and grant grace to the remnant that are left, grace to endure. And in our land, in its darkness, and Lord, we see the great inroads of error, and the rulers of our nation, the Lord, and the statute book of this land, and on it many acts which are wholly contrary to thy holy word, which license sin and evil, and lay down punishments, Lord, for those who condemn it. Gracious God, we pray that thy dear servants may be given grace to stand in this evil day to preach the whole counsel of God. We see the inroads of and the signs of persecution about us. But Lord, we pray we may ever be enabled to remain faithful. Look down, we pray thee, upon this land. Preserve to us our Protestant heritage and constitution. Preserve us to us our independence. Lord, preserve to us that which thou hast given to us over the generations, even our freedom of worship, freedom of speech, and freedom to preach thy holy word. Oh, look down and have mercy upon us. We deserve not the least of all thy mercy. We have sinned as a nation against light and knowledge, turned our back upon thy holy word and thy holy law. Thou seest the vast apostasy of our national church. But in the midst of it all, the heathen darkness, Lord, and the disorder and promiscuity and vileness that pervades the land, we believe thou hast a tiny remnant. We pray that thou would hear their cries. May we ever be numbered amongst those who sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. We are thankful, Lord, that thou, the Lord God omnipotent, reignest. Thankful that the government is upon thy shoulders, and Lord, that thou abidest faithful. Thou cannot deny thyself. Lord, look down then and have mercy upon us. You, the Queen and the royal household, all in authority over us. We pray with the Prime Minister, his Cabinet, and our Parliament. Lord, we seek that thou wouldst raise up yet God-fearing men in high places. Now remember us this night, Lord, as we hope to come to thy table. Oh, lead us into the blessed truth that lies at the table, even thy death, Lord, on Calvary's cross, thy sufferings for thy dear people, and Lord, the work that thou didst accomplish there, for there thou knowest our whole hope of heaven rests. In that blessed truth, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds and these arrayed with joy, shall I lift up my head. Bless the church here, the members of the church, and grant, gracious God, that in thy own time and way, there may be in this congregation, in this church, a building up according to thy sovereign, determinate counsel and will. Now, Lord, we come to thee once again. Grant the unction and dew of thy Spirit, thy help in preaching the gospel. Lead us into thy word of truth. Touch our lips with the live coal from thy heavenly altar. Lord, look down upon us and fill our earthen vessel. Grant grace, wisdom, strength and liberty. And Lord, grant there may be a feeding, that thy holy word may have free course and be glorified, and that thy dear people may be lifted up and strengthened in the most holy faith. We ask these mercies, the pardon and forgiveness of every sin, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 308, the second part, commencing at verse 8. Again we cannot see his helping hand, but feel. And though we neither feel nor see, his hand sustains us still. Hymn 308, part 2, verse 8.
Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the prophet Isaiah, reading from chapter 26 and verse 19. Prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 26, and reading from verse 19. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. These are the words of God. They are spoken with authority. Who but he could raise the dead? Who but he could deliver poor souls out of nature's darkness into God's marvellous light? We would desire, first of all, to look at this certainty. When God speaks, there is an absolute certainty about it. We believe he is speaking here of the whole church of God, in all ages and all generations, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. As we read in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, dead in sins. What a word that is, that we're born in this world, as we read there, without hope and without God in the world. No desire for him, no need of him. And we need what the apostle spoke of in his letter to the church at Ephesus, and he wrote as one who understood what he was writing about. He had learnt by experience. He knew what it was to be dead in a false religion, dead without hope and without God in the world, but to have a Bible in his hand. He did not understand it. He needed Christ to reveal himself to him. When Christ revealed himself to his disciples on the road to Emmaus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The apostle had studied the scriptures and knew them well, but he did not see Christ. He saw nothing of him. Although the scriptures were abundantly clear, they pierced my hands and my feet. He was wounded for our transgressions. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and so many more divine prophecies lay in God's holy word, yet he saw it not. He knew nothing of it. He was dead in trespasses and sins. And the apostle could speak as he did. You, he said, hath he quickened. The mighty work of God, thy dead men shall live. As the Lord in the dawn of creation created life, and as he did that miracle in the dawn of creation, and he created this whole world and light upon it and everything in it, in him was life, and the life we read in the Gospel of John was the light of the world. So in his church, He works in such a manner. Oh, let us search our hearts tonight and ask ourselves, has He brought me out of nature's darkness into His marvellous light? Am I quickened by His Spirit? Lead a life of faith and prayer. Oh, what has the Lord done in your heart? Search and inquire. Many will discuss and argue about truth, but it requires a divine power. We see the distinguishing grace of God in the two brothers, Jacob and Esau. What a distinction there was. It is so starkly put in Scripture by God Himself. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Of the two, humanly speaking, Esau was the better nature. But we see the sovereign will of God and the sovereign purposes of God. Esau never had a battle. Have you got one? Esau's heart remained in the world. But it is God's grace manifested in the heart to call His dear people out of nature's darkness. We read in Scripture in these chapters we have read in Ephesians, ye who once were far off, all walking without hope and without God in the world. And he goes on to speak of that mighty quickening influence of God. Ye who once were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We see here one of the blessed shalls and wills of the Scripture. God speaking with a divine purpose. And I would have you notice the first two words of the text, thy dead men. They were His in eternal purposes in eternity past, before they were ever born into this world. The blessed truth that is, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. The Lord told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee and ordained thee a prophet. It was the divine purpose of God to gather His dear church out. They would live. He would call them. However far they wandered from Him, to whatever depths they went, yet the Lord's purpose was to give them life. And we see it here, sacredly connected with His resurrection. We see at that moment in time when the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead that morning of the resurrection, that His work was accomplished together with my dead body till they arise. Mystically speaking, at the morning of the resurrection, the entire church of God in every generation and age rose with Him. The work was done on Calvary's cross. His Father's anger against their sin was appeased. There was propitiation. And the Lord's body, the body of Christ, rose with Him from the grave and were redeemed with His precious blood. Oh, we cannot, I said it this morning, comprehend the magnitude of what that was on Calvary's cross, that the second glorious person in the Trinity, in his incarnation, should rise from the dead and ascend to glory in that risen body, and there intercede on behalf of all in that hour for whom he died. We quoted it this morning, I pray not for the world, said Christ at the Last Supper, but for those whom thou hast given me. And he spoke in that glorious authority, Father, he said, I will. Those whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. A number which no man can number. But the transaction was this, that he bore their sins in his body on the tree. That was the transaction. His sacrifice was a vicarious sacrifice. That precious blood shed upon Calvary's cross took away all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thy dead man, deep mystery, loved with an everlasting love, to grace and glory he ordained. No reason given. Oh, there is none. We shall never fathom the mind of God. But I believe this, a sinner brought to feel his unworthiness, brought to bear his sins in conviction in his heart, brought as a beggar to the mercy seat, if and when he receives a sweet hope in his heart and knows something of that atoning love and blood, such a one will be brought, and I know it well, will be brought to that place before Christ's mercy seat to say just this, why me? Have you ever come there? Why was I made to hear his voice and enter while this room, while others make a wretched choice and rather starve than thy dead men shall live? All whom thou hast given me, I have lost none. Where do you stand in this great transaction? In the Trinity of persons, the Father gave the Son to die. The willing Son obeyed. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, that his dear people might be raised out of nature's darkness, washed in his precious blood, taught, brought, for there is a beautiful connection. Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, and whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Brought out of nature's darkness into God's marvelous light, to know him here below as our God, our Saviour, our Redeemer, to hear his voice, to know his love, to enter into the peace of God which passeth all understanding, to be made as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter, brought down to trust in him, to cast all our care upon him, and to know that he has borne our sins in his body on the tree. I tell you, those are the blessings one taught by the Spirit desires to know in his heart. And alone in that will he find any rest and peace. To have a sweet knowledge that the Lord has called us out of nature's darkness. We spoke of Jacob and Bethel this morning. That was the call of God in his heart. That was the work of his spirit. The corruption, the deceit, the darkness, the death, the unbelief that was in his heart, the Lord came and touched him, spoke to him, called him, and brought him to such a place that for the first time in his life he knew what he describes as the gate of heaven. He heard the voice of his God. Same we see in the Lord's servant, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter to the church at Ephesus. He knew that gate of heaven. He knew the call of God. He knew what it was to be called out of nature's darkness by God's irresistible grace. Effectual call. Do you know it? When God speaks, we see it in our text. We'll come to it as spared later, but we see it in this text. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. There is a hearing, the voice of God. There is a knowledge of its power. God does not need to raise his voice. When he spoke to Elijah in the cave, it was the still small voice of God, but it was with power. It had a gracious effect on the Lord's dear servant. He bowed down and covered his head with his cloak. He knew the voice of God, and he knew that still small voice. The account shows us that there followed a wind, an earthquake, and a fire, but the Lord was not in any of them. He came not in wrath to his dear servant, who was in deep unbelief, having fled from Jezebel. He came in peace. He came to bring him to his mercy seat, and he came for him to know that still a small voice of God. God speaks in such a way all through life's pathway. He does indeed. Why, his dear people often in the journey of life spiritually get into some very dark places. It's not the death of unregeneracy that has gone forever. But there are some solemn paths to be walked out. There is darkness and death felt in the soul. There is distance from God. There are solemn wanderings. The Lord will bring his people near. He works through terrible things in righteousness. He calls them to his mercy seat. He makes them conscious of the solemn, deathly, sleepy, dark position of their souls, and he brings them to cry to him. He brings them to his mercy seat in their need, and they desire life, love, mercy to be felt again. They desire him to draw near and to touch their hearts with his love and mercy and pardoning blood. Oh, the Lord will eventually, when the journey of life spiritually is over, he will bring his people to be with him in heaven. They'll live eternally. Not just spiritually here below. The Lord desires a exercised people, a needy people, one who come to him constantly and desire life in their souls. thy dead men shall live. They will be lifted up, raised by the Lord, and brought near to him, to know him, the eternal God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Thy dead men, loved in eternity past, never to be lost, loved with that everlasting love the Lord has sweetly promised, that they shall live. And the truth of that is this: once in him, oh, it is in him forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. None can pluck them from Jehovah's hands. He holds them in love and mercy. He may permit them to be tempted. He may well permit them to fall. But all in covenant love, the work of grace in their souls is indestructible. And with his risen body, together with my risen body, they will rise. They will rise to be with him in glory. He will gather them to be with himself forever. They shall never be lost. None can pluck them from his hands. Oh, to have a exercise and a concern in our hearts. Where do we stand? Oh, have we been brought to his mercy seat? Are we the subjects of divine teaching? Has he loved us with an everlasting love? Look into your heart tonight, young and old, and search your heart. I'm certain of this, that if the Lord has begun with you, you'll know it. If you have heard his voice calling you to himself, if the Lord has brought you out, then there will be a change wrought in you. There will indeed. There will be a vital change in you, because you'll be able to look back to the days of your unregeneracy. God in his grace will enable you to trace in your heart that separation from this world that lieth in darkness, that which Bunyan speaks of his pilgrim leaving the city of destruction. Becoming a man of prayer, carrying a solemn realization of his fallen nature and ruined condition, and coming to the cross of Calvary. We spoke of it this morning. Nicodemus is teaching from Christ, ye must be born again. There had to be a separation from this world, and there has to be a knowledge of the atoning love and blood of Christ. Oh, when we look at this word, a living soul under a knowledge of his sin and fallen condition will desire a living Saviour. Such a sinner will desire and will rest not short, cannot rest short of anything but a knowledge of the atoning blood of Christ upon his heart and conscience. A knowledge of that peace we spoke of this morning in the soul. There'll be no rest like the dove until it found rest in the ark. Beautiful figure of the coming sinner to Christ. There will be no peace between their God in themselves, no peace in their hearts. Perhaps there are those of you here tonight who long for peace, long for a good foundation in your heart and soul, long for a good hope through grace, long to be delivered out of the quagmire of unbelief and doubt and fear and temptation and darkness that besets your pathway. You perhaps are not without a hope, but you desire a good hope. You long to hear the Lord speaking to your soul. Oh, the sinner that is given life, the life of God in their heart, will have a good hope given to them in the Lord's own ordered time and way. But he works. And he works. As we read in Scripture, he waits to be gracious. And these blessed mercies, precious as they are waited for. For we must value them. And oh, there is, as Scripture speaks, a pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a wrestling on toward heaven. There are earnest desires. There are cries in the hearts of God's dear people. There is supplication, pleading at his mercy seat, that they might know this blessed life that is spoken of here. As Bunyan's pilgrim left that city of destruction in the Pilgrim's Progress, he was crying out, life, life, eternal life. You see, it is the very evidence of a desire for life, the very evidence of the work of God. But you see, there are solemn things about this. Christ spoke of many that went back and walked no more with him. They did not press toward the mark. They turned back. We read of so many in Scripture, especially in the Lord's parable of the sower, that turned back. That there were those in whose heart there was good seed sown. And they were brought to know this kernel of divine life in their souls, never to be extinguished. They were brought to pass the whole of their journey leaning on their beloved, feeling those arms of mercy about them, entering in sweetly into this blessed truth here in our text, together with my dead body, shall they arise, having a sweet hope in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, having a precious hope that he died for them, and a knowledge that they were his, precious promises given to them in their hearts, these exceeding great and precious promises, such promises as, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, how the Lord gives those promises in the souls of his dear people. Together with my dead body shall they arise. The resurrection morn is spoken of here. The rising out of nature's darkness. The power of the resurrection of Christ. Do we know anything of it? Oh, he said, all power belongeth unto me in heaven and in earth. And you know this glorious power that belongs to him, to gather his dear people out of their fallen and lost and ruined condition, and come to them and grant this life in their hearts. And the final point here is this: together with my dead body shall they rise in the great morning of the resurrection. Yes, the wages of sin is death. Their body will one day, and every one of our bodies will one day be laid in the dust of this earth. But the promise is entire and complete. The Lord has died on Calvary's cross and risen again, and he has died to redeem his dear church, body and soul. Oh, the mighty power that lies here. We think of his words at the grave of Lazarus, the manifestation of his power: Lazarus, come forth. So it will be in the glorious morning of the resurrection, spoken of in the letter to the church at Corinth so blessedly: sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown a mortal body, raised a spiritual body. The power of God in his manifestation, in his incarnation, conquering death, as the Apostle Paul speaks of it: O death, he says, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the poor human race, and Christ did it in his own lifetime, went to the grave to weep. But oh, how true it is, as it was of him. It will ever be of every one of his dear children. He's not here, said the angel, he's risen. Oh, the souls of his dear people at death, absent from their body, present with their Lord. But the body is sown in the grave, sown in corruption. It will be raised in incorruption. And this blessed truth will be manifested, sweetly manifested in all its glory and beauty, in that morning without clouds, that great day of the resurrection. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. An absolute certainty. What Christ has said must be fulfilled. On this firm rock believers build. We go on to the second part of this text: awake and sing. When Christ was on earth, his was the word of a king. None spake as he spake. He spake, they said, as one that had authority. Here it echoes in this word of Scripture. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he preached unto them the things concerning himself. And here we have his voice spoken to the church dead in trespasses and sins. Awake. Oh, the solemn nature. We have spoken tonight of the dead. Here it is spoken of in the terms of sleep. Those who walk this earth and are solemnly asleep to their danger, their fallen condition, their need. Now, when the Lord dealt on earth, I think of the man at Bethesda, Paul. The Lord said to him, "Rise." I do believe this, that where the Lord gives a command, he gives strength to obey it. When he says, "Fear not," all fear is taken away. It is the voice of God. When he spoke to his servant, the Apostle Paul, after he gave him his thorn in the flesh, and he longed and desired to have it taken away, and the Lord did not answer his prayer as he wanted it, then he says, "And he said unto me," and we hear from the lips of the Apostle what the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Then it had a sacred effect, and the effect was this: submission to the thorn. "Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities." We deny as churches the offer of the gospel. We do not believe the gospel is to be offered, it is to be preached. But we believe this, that through the foolishness of preaching, the voice of God is heard with power in the soul. And when the Lord uses, as he is determined to use, the foolishness of preaching, when it comes with power into the soul of a sinner, there will be a melting under it, a feeding upon it. The voice of God will be heard in the mighty strength of God, and the sinner will be brought out, lifted up, raised up, brought out of their deathly fallen condition. Do you know anything of it? Has the word ever been a word of sweetness to you? Awake and sing. You see, the sinner is in darkness, mourning. That is the condition of a sinner taught by grace, tempted, tried. The Lord calls them to awake and sing. That speaks to us of joy, comfort, peace, deliverance. Oh, looking back to see the mercy and the good hand of God. And the character is described here, "Thee ye that dwell in dust." It is the same as lies in the first part of our text, "Thy dead men." They dwell and have done in the dust of this earth. In all the things that allure and attract mankind, all its multitude of temptations, carnality, they're dwelling in it. The Lord calls them out of it to something that has substance, that has reality, that will eventually be brought out of nature's darkness and out of the dust of this earth, and to be brought to rejoice in God their Saviour. We spoke this morning of the anthem of the redeemed in glory. Oh, how his dear people, in the days of their unregeneracy, have dwelt in the dust of this earth, lifeless, useless, dark, carnal, evil, but the Lord delivers them out of the dust of death. And he raises them up with a word from his lips, awake. Awake. Oh, awake to wisdom and to your need of righteousness. Awake to your last condition. Why, when the Lord speaks, there is power. And there is healing, mercies. Oh, how he healed when he was here on earth. It is his right, his sovereign authority, his power that raises from the dead and calls his dear people to himself. Describes to them their lost condition. Do you know anything of it? The dust of death. The powers of darkness. When and how did God call you out from it? And separate you and give you another set of priorities in life. Not the things of this world, but the things of eternity. When your eyes were opened, then the things that you counted gain, as the apostle says, you now count dung and dross for the knowledge of Christ Jesus your Lord. To know him whom to know is life eternal. Oh, there is no greater blessing. Awake. Here, as we spoke this morning, is the anthem of the redeemed that they sing in heaven, spoken of as the sound of many waters, but it is that blessed anthem unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Have you heard this commandment? Has the Lord woken you out of the sleep of death? And has he brought you to know what it is to sing? Sing perhaps in this sanctuary of God, not just to sing, for we do this constantly, but to sing with the joy and the peace of God in your soul. To sing with a broken and a contrite heart. To sing with a hope that you understand the sweetness of the truth that lies in the hymns. To sing as those hymns are applied to your soul with divine power. To sing as those hymns are the prayer of your heart. Shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I be found at thy right hand? As in mercy, if you have known what it has been in this sanctuary of God to truly sing, and the Lord has opened your blind eyes, brought you to his mercy seat, and you are alive to God, to our Lord Jesus Christ, you know something of what that change has been wrought in your heart. Thy dead men, loved in eternity past, thy dead men, thine eternally, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they rise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Oh, to know this dew of heaven, sacred dew. Oh, his word we read shall drop as the dew. Descend as the rain, drop as the dew. Do you know anything of it? The sweet, melting, softening influence of the Word of God in your soul that melts your heart, that which is known and felt within, that which comforts the sinner. The Jew ought to know it, and the earth, again he refers to this, cast out her dead. That brings us to the morning of the resurrection, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, beautifully described in Scripture as that morning without clouds, when his dear people will be gathered, body and soul, to glory, to be with him where he is. We read in the 19th of the Revelation, the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and his bride hath made herself ready, and to her was given she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Solemnly, the Lord in his parable of the wise and foolish virgin speaks of that morning in these words, regarding the church of God, they went in and the door was shut. They went in to the marriage supper of the Lamb, awakened here in this world out of nature's darkness, taught by his Spirit, brought through time to eternity, body and soul raised. All these precious truths lie in this prophecy here in the Old Testament. Thy dead men shall live. Sacred certainty, together with my dead body, that precious body that was offered as a vicarious sacrifice on Calvary's cross, thy dead body. As John Owen speaks of it, the death of deaths in the death of Christ. Death was conquered by him through his own death. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £820, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Broom will administer the Lord's Supper after this service and address the prayer meeting tomorrow evening. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Wednesday evening and Mr. Hope next Lord's Day, and our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 999. When any turn from Zion's way, alas, what numbers do, methinks I hear my Saviour say, wilt thou forsake me too? Hymn 999.
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.